Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I appreciate everyone joining us on this first week of May, on this first weekend of May, and everybody who is tuning in to the website and on the podcast throughout the week, as, hey, I continue to be very busy trying to keep everybody as informed as possible on what's happening in these markets. Just a quick reminder, I have a webinar coming up next week with TriStar Gold. It's an exploration company focused in Brazil with a more advanced project and recently just struck a funding deal with Royal Gold. You can find sign-up links throughout the website. I'm kicking off the show with Mike Larson. He's the editor of the Safe Money Report. And Mike, let's start off with U.S. equity markets. However, I want to look at some of these other assets that you have been writing about. You even tweeted about it a couple days ago that outlined a number of important asset classes that are right at this decision point. So they have rallied off of that bottom, that washout bottom, just about a month and a half to 2 months ago. And now at these decision points, it's a crucial time for the markets broadly and these asset classes to see if they're going to break out or if they're going to turn back down. Please share with us some of the assets that you are watching at these crucial levels.
Sure, happy to do so. Obviously, most of us follow the stock market first and foremost. And if you look at something like the S&P 500, I mean, we've rallied, you know, we've had one of the strongest couple-week rallies that we've had in decades, frankly. But all we've done is get back to that 2,900 or so level on the S&P 500, which is essentially halfway back and about where some key levels going back even 2 years. This level has either served as resistance or support, depending on whether we're above or below it. And so now we're at kind of the decision point. You know, is this just a bear market rally, or is this really signaling that there is a turnaround in the underlying economy? And frankly, I think if you look at the data, it remains incredibly dismal. I mean, whether you're talking about the fact that more than 30 million Americans in just 6 weeks have filed for jobless benefits, or the fact that GDP just shrunk at a 4.8% rate, and that was the first quarter of this year, so it didn't even include most of the virus impact, which obviously started really hitting hard in the latter half of March. The data, again, is not indicating that there's much of a turnaround brewing, even some of the early April figures we've gotten so far. And yet the market's really pricing this V-shaped recovery. So in stocks, that's kind of what you're watching here. You know, how does this rally behave? How does the S&P 500 behave now that it's gotten back to this very important level? But as you pointed out, it's not just stocks. If you look at something like copper prices, I mean, we call it Dr. Copper for a reason. Copper is a good economic indicator simply because the metal is used in so many different parts of the economy. And it's just rallied back. It's had a relatively anemic rally back to resistance. You look at some foreign currencies against the U.S. dollar, and it's the same story, rallying back to resistance and where we originally broke down in March. So again, kind of across the board, and even interest rates I'd throw into the mix, are all at these key levels where either they're going to signal that this is about it for a bear market rally, in which case we need to be prepared for, at the very least, probably a retest of the lows or something similar to that. Or if we are able to bust through here, it would signify that, you know, something more is going on. This isn't just a bear market rally. This is truly a sign that, you know, all the stimulus being thrown at the economy, plus the gradual reopening of certain counties and certain states, is going to help things get better from here. I tend to be in the skeptical camp. We've talked about some of the problems the markets and the economy had before this coronavirus crisis even really hit us. And those factors haven't gone away. Those things haven't gone away, despite, you know, everybody's attention being rightly focused on the direct impacts of the virus. So, you know, put me in the skeptical camp, but I definitely think you want to be watching very closely here because, again, this is sort of a decision point. This is a crossroads, whatever metaphor you want to use. And either we're going to bust through, or this is going to be the part where you might want to put on short positions or inverse ETFs, or go ahead and sell some of the stocks and other assets that, you know, were really killing your portfolio a month ago, but now you've gotten higher prices that you can get out of them at better levels.
So this decision, I think, is going to have to be made fairly soon, as we just turned the calendar month over to May. And quite frankly, because so many of these assets have rallied back to this resistance level or technical levels that, well, if they break through, again, it kind of adds to that bullish picture. Do you see any of these sectors, though, diverging from this general trend where it seems like a lot of different asset classes are positively correlated right now?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I did mention that interest rates are behaving interestingly, if you'll pardon the pun. They have tended to be the thing that has not confirmed the exuberance we've seen in equities or the strong bounce we've seen, off of other levels, particularly in sectors like tech and so on. So I think if you see interest rates continue to essentially go nowhere, go sideways, or in some cases actually drop a little bit, that's really telling you that the bond market doesn't believe, so to speak, what the equity market is telling you. And that would be a concerning development. If we continue to see interest rates falling or moving sideways, even as stocks attempt to break out, that's really a non-confirmation. And if you go back and look at the pre-virus environment, one of the big things that told me, you know, you want to be more defensive and you want to be more cautious is that the interest rate market, I mean, 10-year yields in the U.S., topped out in the fourth quarter of 2018 and then began a long, slow slide lower, even as people were saying the economy was in great shape. So in other words, the interest rate market was telling you we were already likely heading into a slowdown for the economy, probably what I would call a garden variety recession. And then obviously you layered this enormous downside pressure of the coronavirus on top of that. And that's why we're in this messy situation that we're in now. So again, I think I would keep an eye on that. And I would keep an eye on the stocks that really a lot of people have been hiding in. I mean, if you look at what's been holding the S&P 500 up, even as a lot of sectors, whether it's energy, whether it's financials, whether it's industrials, have been lagging, it's really tech. It's a handful of mega cap tech companies, you know, your Microsofts, your Amazons, your Apples, and so on. They've been what's held the market up. If you lose any of those, you know, those few handful of stocks that are really propping up the averages, given their outsized market cap and outsized influence on those averages, then we're really in trouble because, again, you don't have a lot of other horses that are, so to speak, that are pulling this thing along. It's really just a handful of big cap tech names.
Yeah, that's so true. But some of these big cap tech names came out with some pretty good earnings this week. But that also goes on the back of a lot of people, I think, being stuck at home. So who knows how long we're still going to be stuck at home for. This is a similar question that I asked to a lot of guests throughout the week. And it deals with understanding that, yes, the economy in the U.S., around the world, literally everywhere, the economy is struggling. And the assumption is it's going to continue to struggle for another at least couple months, maybe through the whole year. However, markets, yes, in the face of that have moved up. And we can all say that markets are forward-looking, and that's maybe why they were moving up. They thought that the economy would get restarted quicker. But there's also this underlying Fed put or central bank put that we heard from some key central banks this week that said they're going to remain easy for the foreseeable future. How do you balance these two out when you can understand that much more money created does land in markets?
I think there is a common assumption that the Fed can, or not that just that the Fed will try and prop up markets, but that they will 100% succeed at it. And we've seen in the past that isn't necessarily true when you're in a bear market trend. If you go back to the 2000 to 2003 cycle, or even 2007 to 2009, it's not like the Fed just sat there and didn't do anything while the markets fell and the economy deteriorated. The Fed was actively cutting interest rates sharply throughout both cycles. And then obviously in the last cycle, they were also throwing loads of QE at the market. Ultimately, you know, the market didn't bottom until the S&P 500 was down 50% in the first case and 57% in the second. Even at the worst levels in March, we were down only about 30 or some odd percent from the peak. So if this is a bear market rally, and if we've gotten about all we're going to get in terms of the bounce from the Fed, then this is a logical place where that rally would fail. That's why I'm definitely watching here. The other point I think I would make, again, is that the Fed itself, even when announcing all these programs, and even when Powell was giving his most recent virtual press conference, he admitted that they don't think this is going to be a quick V-shaped recovery. The Fed's operating on the consensus or the assumption that this thing is going to take months and months and months before we work through all the challenges. That's very different from what the stock market's pricing in here. If you look at the vigor of the bounce off the March lows, it really points to or has left us with this huge dichotomy between what the economic data is saying and what the markets are saying. And not only that, you know, you mentioned that markets are forward looking, and that's true. They tend to bottom before recessions end. But this is really, really putting the cart before the horse because of the vigor of the rebound and the amount of optimism about how strong that's going to be, which, again, is opposite of what even Wall Street's own economists are saying and even opposite of what the Fed itself is saying.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, we got to wrap it up here, Mike. We're out of time for the radio, but it's always great having you on the show. I appreciate you taking time to kick off the weekend edition. Have a great rest of your weekend. Everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back.
Thanks, Corey. Thank you.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.